ones who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
In the year 1978, a young boy aged 5 desperately wanted more after seeing the movie Star Wars in the theater. The geek gods heard this cry and gave the child 2 TV shows that quenched his thirst as Battlestar Galactica debuted, followed a year later by Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Please join this 5-year-old, now in his late 40s, Sean Kidd, and his watch companion Scott Shiflett, as Sean relives, remembers, and re-watches his 2 favourite TV shows as a young man, and Scott watches them for the first time. This is Battlestar in the 25th century.
In the year 1987, NASA launched the last of America's deep space probes. Aboard this compact starship, a lone astronaut, Captain William Buck Rogers, was to experience cosmic forces beyond all comprehension. In a freak mishap, his life support systems were frozen by temperatures beyond imagination. Ranger 3 was blown out of its planned trajectory into an orbit 1,000 times more vast, an orbit which was to return Buck Rogers to Earth 500 years later.
Place to Be Pop, welcome to episode number 18 of Battlestar in the 25th Century. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and as always, I am joined by Scott Shiflett. Scott, how are you tonight?
Sean, I'm glad to be here talking about, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis. I've always known... I'm just so excited to talk about this episode, Unchained Woman, episode 9, like you said. Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, I saw her in Trading Places. She was kind of hot then, but I saw that kind of young, and I've always known her as Fighting Michael Myers. She looks pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, so at one point, Jamie Lee Curtis was a smoke show. Like, she was a very, very attractive woman. I mean, obviously in Halloween, she was very schoolgirlish. But then she was in all, like, these 80s movies. Like you said, she was in Trading Places. She was in another one. What was that other one called? There was one. I can't remember what the name of it was. Oh, I think it was called Perfect, where she was a yoga instructor. That was just ridiculous. And then obviously, you know, True Lies, and she's still pretty smoking in True Lies, even when
it's... Oh, yeah, she was hot as shit in True Lies. I was like, I remember watching that movie, I was like, my parents okay with me watching this shit?
Well, that whole scene where she's doing the striptease and with Arnold, and yeah. Of course, doing a striptease for Arnold's disturbing, because Arnold is just a very odd man, so he's a very, anyway, I don't know. Do it now. And then hitting his little recorder, recording back, do it now. But anyway... Yeah, so she is the Unchained Woman in the Unchained Woman episode 9 of Buck Rogers we're going to watch tonight. So, Scott, are you ready to jump right into it?
Yes, I am. And as we had a mistake last episode where I told everyone incorrectly what timestamp to start on, we're starting from very beginning right now at 0000.
And there is a reason we're starting at the beginning, because if I'm watching this in 1979 or whatever it aired, and it came on as a promo, and I watched the beginning of this before the episode even starts, I mean, holy shit, I got to watch it. Because we're going to talk about all this shit that happens before we even get into the episode. So are you ready?
Yes, I am.
3, 2, 1, play. So we open up hot. Buck is talking to Jamie and tells her to hit the deck. And this whole freaking thing explodes. Now they're running through the desert. Buck has to save this beautiful fugitive. Then these little tentacles pull her into the sand. Now there's a Terminator crashing through buildings. Like, Scott, what the fuck is going on?
And it's like a prison ship, identify yourself, and it's like break off lieutenant, and it's like we have to kill her before they get to her. Just hachi-machi women everywhere on this one.
Yeah, and then the last thing you see before the credits is Jamie pulling some ring and Buck falls to the ground. Like, this comes in hot. Like, if you're watching this in a commercial, or if you're just turning the channel to NBC this and see this beginning, you goddamn right, I'm going to watch this.
Oh, 100%. And Sean, this actually came out after she was in the Halloween movie. I thought it might have been before.
No, Halloween came out in 78. This came out in 79.
That is correct. She was doing little guest star stuff on The Love Boat, and then she was the Scream Queen that we know of because she was on Prom Night, Terror Train.
Oh, I forgot about Prom Night.
Road Games.
What other? Wait, name off some other early. While the colon's running, can you read off some of the other?
She's in the Army Now, Halloween 2, Death of a Centerfold, the Dorothy Stratton story. That's probably a TV movie.
Oh, no. She's played Dorothy Stratton was a Playboy model, got killed by her boyfriend, so she must have played her in the movie.
Okay. Callahan, Money on the Side.
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know, but it's her and two other women in the trailer. Love Letters, Trading Places, as we talked about. Grandview, USA, Perfect. The Adventures of Buckaroo Bananza Across the Eighth Dimension.
Yeah, all right, we can stop. It's starting to get shit. Buckaroo, those are all like, yeah, I forgot she was a Buckaroo Banzai, too.
A Fish Called Wanda, she was in that.
That is a tremendous movie, by the way. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've heard it's good, though.
I highly recommend that movie. It is so great.
And Halloween H2O, which was the first Halloween movie I ever saw.
All right, so we've opened up, and I guess this is a prison shuttle.
We see this prison shuttle, and like we see what is apparently this human saying, like, oh, we're cleared for Moon 3 approach. So there's a prison on the moon, which hasn't been discussed in 9 episodes, which is odd.
So shuttlecraft, you'll surrender for inspection. So basically, I think what they're doing is they're pulling this ship over because they want to place Buck on this ship as the fugitive because they're trying to get Buck down to where they're trying to go. So, Buck is going to play a fugitive in prison, I think, is what we're trying to get to here.
Yep, and they're, like, doing, like, under this cover that, you know, you guys, like, this is an illegal ship, and they basically, like, paralyze him in space. And he's like, as I said, extended docking bays, because they were shooting at him.
Yeah, like, they aren't fucking around with him. They aren't fucking around with him.
Exactly, like, what the hell is going on with this?
So another hot open. And look at the size of this door. Like, they just walked through this, like, little tiny triangle door.
I know, but Wilma's looking hot. Damn, son. And then we find out that the pilot...
Look at the little nerve pinch, and he passes out.
Well, he's also an android.
Yeah, you find out he's an android, that's right.
and Buck goes, hello there, goodbye there.
Just woke up the freaking the prisoner and then put him out. So that's kind of cool that they have, I guess, robots that fly these prison shuttles. That's pretty cool.
Yep. And then we see Buck and his Christmas, basically red long johns, essentially.
Look at her giving Buck the fuck me eyes in his Christmas long johns.
I would be like, hey, can y'all give me like 10 minutes just in case I die?
So he just reprogrammed this prison bot. And now they're taking the other prisoner out, and Buck's going to replace him, and he reprogrammed the prison bot to not even realize that Buck's not the same prisoner he was on there with.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and he's like, piece of cake, and we see for some reason Buck has a pendant on, and that's come in handy shortly later. God, if I can speak to...
Oh, well, you know, you've been drinking tonight. It's okay, Scott.
I know. And I love Buck's, like, how long before we land? And, like, the robot pilot's waking up, and he's like, 15 minutes. And, like, he's obviously reprogrammed, so this is actually pretty good right here.
Again, mistreatment of the old people. You know, they just come in. You know, last episode, it was the Fighting 69th. On the Battlestar episode, it was the aggro guy, and now your robot space shuttle guy is a old man. They really don't have a lot of respect for old people in these shows, Scott.
But also, where's the young people? Did they, like, die in some war or something? It's just the old people there hanging out?
Hey, what's going on with Tweaky? Why does Tweaky look like he got a haircut or something?
I'll have to look back. It jumped ahead real quick.
You jumped ahead?
No, just showed it.
Yeah, when you look at Tweaky, look at him. It looks like he got a haircut or something. Like, it's a new dickhead or something.
Yeah, he's, he shined up that dickhead just fine.
Yeah, it's like they shined it up or they gave him a smaller dickhead. I'm not sure which one it is.
And then we see Ted, by Jove. How nice to see you again. I guess by God is no longer by Jove.
Who the fuck says by Jove?
Dr. Hewer's bitch ass. He's worse than Adama.
Oh, and I'll meet Theo from my computer council. Basically, he doesn't care to meet you because you're human and he thinks we're all pieces of shit. That's how I would introduce him. And this is Tweaky, my AmbuQuad.
Wow. They're just really mean to little people here.
They really are. Well, I've applied as much diplomatic pressure on the Zenton government as I could. The prisoner is Jen Burton. Jen Burton is who Jamie Lee Curtis is playing.
Yep, and they're saying extradition is not possible at this time. And Dr. Hewer's like, don't worry, I got a backup plan, but I'm not telling you because I think you're a piece of shit. So well, never mind, does tell him. God, yeah. What an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's telling him, we're going to break Burton out of the, we're going to break her out of the prison and bring her back to Earth. And then and of course, this guy's angry because he went behind my back. Yes, he went behind your back because Hewer doesn't give two fucks about anybody but himself.
And that's a very good point, Ted.
Ted, that's a very good point, but let me be honest with you. I really don't give two fucks what you think, and why don't you get the fuck right out of my office? That's basically what he's saying, right?
Yeah, and they're like, Jen Burton, who's like Pantera, who's like this straight-up killer, is like, she'll turn on him, and everyone's like, everyone knows that Pantera committed the crime. She's just covering for him.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, we get like she's basically a jilted lover or something.
Yeah, she basically is taking the fall for the real murderer. And that guy, and by the way, we'll meet him in a little bit. He's a real piece of shit.
Oh, one of the biggest pieces of shit we found.
Yeah, he's really, really a big piece of shit. And they're just still talking back and forth. It's like, okay, let's just get back to the prison.
Yeah, it's like, fuck off. Like, fuck off, Ted. And like, then Ted's like, you put me in a very awkward position. What am I to tell the Zayton government? He's like, you shut your mouth. That's what you tell him.
Yeah, Hewer is, I think out of Battlestar and this show, Hewer might be the biggest dick out of everybody. He really is a penis, Scott.
He is. He's a piece of shit. At least Adama to get shit done. He always fucks up.
For a man who's sworn to Earth, he's truly torn by the situation.
And then, like, he takes up for him. Well, he's a diplomat. He's supposed to see both sides. But I feel like our friendship is to sway his judgment, which you don't have friends. You never mentioned friends the whole 8 episodes.
Well, then Hewer says, well, I guess I am. That's what I'm doing. So he's like I said, he doesn't give two shits about anybody but himself. And now we're in the desert. I guess this is the same desert where Khalil's little mountain place was.
Well, it's 100%. Yeah. It's just right below that, right above that ridge, Sean.
So let's see here. This is – all right. So we have – by the way, this is the same exact thing that they – this is the same machine.
Oh, my God. It is the same machine.
No, they do. I read about this. They use the same machine on all these episodes as they go side and side. So this is the same one.
And we, as listeners – you know, all four of you out there, which we greatly appreciate. We saw this just last episode, and we were making fun of it for being the Mako, and now it looks like something from RoboCop.
And here's the other thing I love. It's like this little random place out in the middle of the desert, and it's like this little elevator that shoots you down to a prison below it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the prison is 200 meters straight down, carved from solid bedrock. So it's a pretty good prison, actually. And they're like, on Zeta, they do it right. And, yep.
And there then goes Buck.
Like, make it a bumper sticker. You make a fortune.
But, and the guy, and the robot's like, what? A bumper sticker? Yeah. Hardy, har, har. And look at that. They just shoot right down, and then Buck enters. This is, I got to admit, I'm pretty impressed by the prison out in the middle of the desert underneath it. I'm pretty down with that.
And all the damn doors are too small. Like, yep. Buck had to step through with that. All these Terminators look too big for, like, you know, the door frame. Just like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, so let's clarify. These are prison guards. And by the way, this main prison guard, his name is Hugo. They are all robots. They're robotic guards. So they look like humans, like Terminators, but they are actually robots. And now they just put this bracelet on them. And Puck's like giving him shit. Oh, does that mean we're embracing? He goes, no, it means you behave yourself. I'll know about it if you don't.
You know, I'm shocked. Like, this would have been like, if this was set in like the mid 2000s, this Terminator would be Cena.
Like, so you're right. Yeah, he looks like Cena. He looks a little bit like him.
Yeah, so Cena, I've been like, you know how like when WWE was on UPN, like you would have like The Rock and like Star Trek and everything? This would be like when Cena would do something. This would be like when they would do something like that. So we go back to Earth, and we see that little mouse rat asshole Tim is meeting with Zartan, and he's a Pantera. Sorry.
Ooh, hello, hello, Pantera.
Nope, it's not even Pantera. It's his new. It's this new Bo.
Well, there's Boo. Pantera. There's Pantera right there.
Yep.
He's a dick. You don't tell me anything. By the way.
He called him old man.
Yeah, I told you. There's no respect for these. So this guy, yet another traitor. How many traitors do we have in these Buck Rogers? Every single episode, there's a traitor.
I just assume everyone's a double agent.
I know, but how terrible is the Earth Defense Doctorate that everybody's a fucking traitor?
Well, remember, the Earth Defense Doctorate was a joke until Buck came around. So that's why everyone was a traitor. They weren't doing anything, so they had to make some extra cash on the side.
So Pandora, that's his name, Pandora, right?
Pantera.
Pantera, whatever. He's going to kill, he wants to kill his ex-girlfriend, who is Jamie Lee Curtis, because obviously he doesn't want her around anymore. And by the way, his new girl is very smoky. She is smoking hot.
Yeah, I would take her instead. Sorry, Jamie Lee.
You take her over Jamie Lee?
Yeah, but they're still number two and three to Wilma. So
everybody's number two and three to Wilma on this show.
Yeah.
All right, so they're more back and forth, setting up the traitorism. Pantera and his great hot girlfriend. We're going to do F. Mary Kill here in a little bit with her, Wilma, and Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
So.
And then she's like, bye-bye. Not going to lie. Kind of sexy. Kind of bitchy. I kind of like it.
Very bitchy. Very bitchy.
Yeah.
What are they doing to Buck here? Are they like...
He's like in stasis or something that like fucks with him or not. It seems to cause him great pain. And
yeah, he's like... Yeah, so now he walks out, and I love the Christmas, like you say, Christmas pajamas he's wearing.
And they're doing the scanner. I thought that was what they were doing before. Ooh. Scanner looks like a lightsaber in his hand.
That is a really bad special effect. Oh, wait, he's wearing contraband. Oh, he's wearing a necklace, and Wilma said that necklace was his only escape, if you remember.
Yep, and he's like, it's just a keepsake. It's like, your luck just ran out. Afraid you bribed someone in processing for nothing.
So now they're on to him at this point.
Yep. And that looks like I'm not a Star Trek fan, Sean, but looks like a Star Trek symbol.
That was 100% the Star Trek. Absolutely. That might be like an Easter egg kind of thing.
Okay.
All right. Buck's in deep shit now. They just called him out on his shit.
Yep. And they just threw it in the trash, which is conveniently right on top. And this is actually pretty progressive because we see that the men and women are in the same prison. I guess this is their rec room, I guess, or this is where everyone sleeps. Doesn't look too comfy.
This is the orgy room. Oh, hello. Look at that one.
Oh, wow. I didn't see her on the first one. Damn.
What are you doing? Wow.
Okay, I take back what I said. Jamie looks pretty hot right there.
Jamie looks smoking. By the way, she doesn't look nearly that hot in the original Halloween at all.
No, they definitely sexed her up on this.
Yeah, I kind of like Hugo, man. I'm down with it. Yeah, that outfit Jamie's wearing is smoking hot.
Yep.
Look at her pretty hair.
It is. I love her, and she's like, your name's Val Sahan, and I've heard that line before many times because he said he was going to break her out. And first off, are we sure this isn't like a mental ward? Because I saw some girl like Buck just did a double take. She was like playing with her eyes or something. Did you see that?
Yeah. By the way, I wasn't talking about her hair, Scott.
Oh.
just for the record, I thought you would have caught on to what I was trying to hit. Oh,
I am so sorry.
You know what I do like? Oh, look. Oh, uh-oh. So that little bracelet is about to cause some havoc. Oh, and the prison blew the fuck up.
Like, they blew their whole fucking FX budget right there. That's when they blew their wad.
That was a hell of a special effect, by the way.
Really is. Yeah. Like, you know, I take their shitty little scanner before. Now, everyone starts leaving. You know, we got a mass breakout. And Jen's like, no, go this way. And Buck's like, no, I hope you're wearing your you climb and shoes, the elevator's out.
Oh, look at Hugo. Oh, look at that guy. He's all fucked up. Blah, 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 like bleeping. What I forgot to say is, if you noticed, when Buck entered the prison, Jamie did not have her jacket on because they did it on purpose to accentuate her beautiful hair. And then once they did that, they made her put on a jacket. Get the hint, Scott?
Yes. All right. Yes, okay. I do. Yes, right. I do.
So now, so here's the other thing. They just blew up this prison underground, which is fantastic. But now all these other ones are escaping, and you don't know who these guys. These could be rapists, serial killers, and they gave no fucks. They're just there to help her.
Yeah, well, since like Valsahan and Burton were supposedly going to be in prison for life, the rest of these are serial killers as well. I'm getting to add in 5 seconds. So, you know, Buck and them should really think about the damage that they've caused for planet Zartan.
But as you know, Huer gives no shit about anybody but himself and his agenda. You know that.
Maybe that's why people shit on the Earth Director. I'm in an ad. Are you in an ad?
I am not on an ad yet, so let me pause.
Okay.
All right, so what do you think about the beginning?
Comes off really hot. I really like it. You know, it's nice to see Jamie Lee Curtis. You know, it's pretty cool. She probably didn't think she'd be much of a star like she is today. But it's nice to see her. And, like, and it's not her first acting gig, but one of her first. And it's very nice. Like, it's kind of like when I like watching 2000 movies, like early 2000 movies. Like, Wanted. Chris Pratt has, like, a small-ass role in it. And, like, now he's, like, a big movie star. So it's something like that. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, let me know when you're back from your ad, by the way. Okay. What I really like is I like we opened hot, getting into the shuttle. Like, we don't waste any time. We just jump right into it, get Buck on the shuttle, reprogram the shuttle guy, take off the other prisoner, replace Buck. And then I love, love, love the prison. I think the prison in the middle of the desert with the cyborg guys are awesome. And I love that they go underground into the desert. And I love that in the first 16 minutes of this show, we've already got Buck into the prison. He's blown out of prison, and now he's on the run in the desert with Jamie Lee Curtis. How much hotter does it get than that?
It doesn't get any hotter. It's great. It's because, like, you know, like we had this hot start in our last episode with Battlestar, and it slowed down exponentially. So I hope that doesn't happen again with this. But I don't foresee it happening. If I watched this before, and that's where I have my notes. Going off memory, I don't think it slows down.
No, this is like Guardrail to Guardrail episode. It just keeps. It's an amazing episode, actually. How's your commercial doing? What commercial are you watching?
I'm on a Visa commercial right now. It's like, I already got a Visa card. It's fine. And I got another commercial. God, it's like, what the hell? I usually get like shitty, like Chinese buffet commercials, but now I'm getting like real commercials.
Is there really such a thing as a shitty Chinese buffet?
Yes.
Really? I've never had a bad Chinese buffet ever.
I mean, I haven't had a Chinese buffet in like 10 years.
I'm kind of hungry.
I used to really fat shit it up at the Chinese buffets.
I love Chinese food.
Me too. I might get some Panda Express tomorrow. I just got a Sweet Home Alabama visit Alabama thing. All right, I'm back, Sean.
All right, so are you with Wilma?
Yeah, just getting there. She's talking now. The sensors picked up a seismic disturbance in the proximity of the prison.
All right.
And this is where we have the snitch.
All right, the snitch is in there. I'm telling you, man, there's something going on with Tweaky's head. It's bugging me, Scott. Something not right. It's almost like he shaved or they shrunk his head. There's something that maybe there's a different like small person in there. I can't put my finger on it.
You know what I think it is? He's not wearing the Flavor Flav watch.
Is that what? No, because I've seen him without the Flavor Flav. Like, he looks smaller than normal. Something's not right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they're talking about the planet. Zeta has always been untrustful of the Earth's Federation activities and blah, blah, blah. Again, more boring back and shit. I don't care.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care. Like, you know, Zeta's like, how you said, it's like, come on. Like, where is Zeta at? Like, and for to be a problem with Earth Federation, you know?
And now they're going to go out and have some fucking dinner. Why do I give a fuck if they go have dinner?
He said, only if you let me buy it. It's fair enough. Well, the guy's getting kickbacks, so he has enough money.
Do you think that Hugh? Do you think Huer is trying to get some seed from him?
Yes, he is.
Sorry, I'm just running off the gimmick. I don't know. I almost think like we should make the seed like an ongoing, like, look at it. Even his face or something, like he's smiling. Like, what is going on with this? There's something fucking wrong.
I wonder if they did change it.
I don't know. Something's off. I'll have to go back and research it, but it's
My God, you're right. That's terrifying.
It's creepier than shit.
It's like let's make this more kid friendly. It's like absolutely not.
All right, now we're back in the desert, and Jamie Lee is being very, very big pain in the ass for our friend Buck.
She said, "I said let go of me." God, she's yeah. I was like, listen, I'm just gonna let you die.
I like how we get the back view of her ass. That's nice.
That is nice. He said, "This is a big desert. I can keep talking." And he's like, "You'll promise you keep walking as long as you keep talking."
It has a Moroccan flavor out here. They're like, "What's a Moroccan flavor?"
Station Post 7.
How did I get into it? She goes, "My fall in love with real Fink." And she's like, "I don't know what you mean." He's basically because she has no idea that her boyfriend's a piece of shit, by the way. Oh, and there's Hugo coming out of it, all busted up. This is fantastic.
Yeah, he and it's like the Terminator, Sarah Connor. And like I love how they have like the circuits buzzing and everything to show like he's an android and he's about to whoop some ass.
Oh, and he spotted all of them.
But like it's weird that like he spots them, Sean, but then like he like focuses in on Buck and Jamie Lee.
Well, I think part of it is because, you know, Buck's the one that blew the place up, maybe, potentially.
That is a good point.
Look at her. Like, they're just walking through this desert. And now she's, was that a walking stick she's got with her?
Yeah, she somehow picked up a walking stick. She's like, "I'm not going to tell a defense director anything."
And they're just bantering back and forth.
And look at her. I won't get back to work. To Earth, sorry.
Yeah, she's very cute.
Yeah, she very is. Pretty. Yes.
So do you think the Terminator stole... How foolish would it be of me to say that the movie Terminator came from Hugo?
You know, it wouldn't... Like, it's pretty much the same thing. Indestructible android searching out a man and a woman. That's pretty much the plot of Terminator 1.
And look what they did. They've reused the Battlestar Cantina set yet again.
Oh. My God, you took the words out of my mouth, Sean. Yeah. Yeah, this is 100% the cantina. Look at that short ass skirt. Jesus.
Dude, I'm telling you, that leaves nothing in the imagination.
Nothing at all.
Nada.
See almost everything.
That hair though has gotta go. That's a big ass hair.
It's a Farrah Fawcett hair, right?
Yeah, I guess. So I like how 1 minute in the desert and the next minute they're like on a sound stage in the back lot.
And they have this asshole guy who's supposed to, like, take out Wilma or take out her ship.
Oh, Hugo kicking the styrofoam rocks. I like. Did you like how that rock floated? Like, he kicked it, you literally saw it floating in the air because it was so light. That was hilarious.
Well, I would like to think on this planet, there's different gravity, and that's just what we saw.
Oh, I love how you try to cover up for the blatant bullshit special.
Hey, I'm just trying to think, you know. There's different gravity everywhere.
I like how...
and they're making pretty good time.
Buck always has a way with the women, doesn't he?
Dude, he's like Starbuck. He has to bang everything with a vagina.
Yeah, and Jamie Lee Curtis is like, "I'm not going to let you take me back, you know." And Buck's like, "Well, what the fuck are you going to do about it?" He's such a dick. I love it.
And he's like, "Pull up a rock.
Why don't you at least wait till we get to the next station post? It's that way." She's just such a pain in the ass.
She really is. I mean, why don't he wait, you know?
So a lot of this middle ground, like it's kind of like the same thing in the middle episode. They're just walking. They're being chased by Hugo. And nothing. And there he is. He's just following them. So not a lot really going on so far. It's kind
of
like.
It's like the fucking shitty ass Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Sean. I know I'm a big-ass nerd, but this big-ass nerd does not like Lord of the Rings. It's the most boring fucking movie I ever watched.
I don't disagree. So help me understand, because I agree with you on Revenge of the Nerds. I was going to say Revenge of the Nerds. I agree with you on Lord of the Rings. Help me understand how you like Harry Potter if you don't like Lord of the Rings.
It just got me into reading. I remember my fourth grade teacher was like reading it to us, and I was like, "This shit's amazing."
You know what got me into reading? Playboy.
I was about to say that, yes.
I guess I'm pretty transparent.
Well, I've heard you're talking pop. That's right.
Oh, first podcast I ever did, by the way.
Hey, you were a natural at it.
Yeah, first one. All right, so Wilma is now cornered by this little goon who has
And it definitely is like, this is like Mos Eisley Cantina, because he pulls a gun out. It's like, is there any witnesses? And everyone just walks away. It's like, holy shit.
Now, is this guy supposed to be Space Fonzie with that leather jacket?
I think so. He even got the collar popped up.
That is a horrible, horrible ensemble he's wearing.
Wilma is like walking like her shit doesn't stink. God, look at that ass, Sean.
And why does Wilma always get captured?
I don't know. She's supposed to be so good at her job.
And Buck's still trying to convince this girl that her boyfriend used her, and she's not having any of it. And shit's about to get real here in a minute, I think.
Yeah, and Buck's trying to tell her that he used you, you know, like, what the hell's going on? And Sean, have you ever seen the movie Tremors?
I have, yes.
Because this is, I think, where the idea came from.
Look at, you know what's funny, though? It literally was a rope. If you look at it, when it came up, it looked like a hose just coming out of the ground. But I will tell you, when I watched this episode as a kid, this scared the living shit out of me.
It's terrifying because it looks like it's quicksand as well. Oh, we almost saw a little bit of Buck's crack right there. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, Buck's fucking stabbing it with that stick. And, you know, so again, inspiration here. I am going to say the Sarlacc from Return of the Jedi is inspired by what would just happen here.
That is definitely true. That definitely feels like a Sarlacc pit.
Between my sister-in-law and that's what the inspiration was for the Sarlacc pit.
Damn, you can see her ass right there. Sorry. Yep.
Oh, and now not only do they have the tentacles, now they have the deal. Now Hugo's got to hold a Buck, and now they're in deep shit.
Yep.
Oh, I like how Buck went for the karate chop and hurt his hand on the robot.
Because they only teach that at NASA.
By the way, you could tell blatantly in the face that was not Buck yet again.
No, it wasn't.
When he took that little flip in the sand, like, mother. Oh, look, even that sidekick right there, that wasn't him.
Can Buck do anything? Like, come on.
Look at those. Those are some badass. That right there is the Sarlacc, man. That's it.
Oh my God, they just did the Hardy double team where Jeff got him. Oh, that's pretty dope.
And then Jamie or Lee Curtis makes his face. She turns like she's all horrified. Jamie, it's a fucking robot.
Yeah, time to die.
Yep.
And Buck stands in front of her.
That was kind of cool, though. I got to admit, I dug the Great Value Sarlacc. That was pretty badass.
Oh, me too. So we're about halfway through the episode, and it's moving pretty quick.
This episode's breezed real by.
And it's not like, you know, we had some walking and bullshit Lord of the Rings stuff where they're about to drop the ring off. And now
they're going back and forth again.
It's like, what are we doing?
Boy, Buck has some terrible hair when it's not combed, by the way. Like, he's got, like, it looks like he's got two wings on the side of his head and then a wing in the middle. With his hairy,
yeah, it,
with his
it hairy, looks real
with his,
bad.
With his hairy chest.
Oh, God. Buck, like, you said he gets fat in season two, right?
Well, can't you see kind of the evolution a little bit? You can kind of tell that he's going to get fat.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he's drinking too much. I can't wait. I just imagine he's going to look like Elvis.
I cannot wait till we get to season two, and you're going to be like, holy shit, Buck, what did you do over the summer hiatus? That's going to be very funny.
Oh, and now we see Theo, Dr. Theopolis. He's figuring it out.
Yep. That's why computers are better than humans and why the computer council runs the Earth. I smell a rat. Well, of course you fucking do, because there's so many rats on the freaking Earth that you guys can't figure it out. That this is a common trope with them, is the constant snitch they have. It's unbelievable how often they do it here.
Snitches get stitches.
I don't know what they did to Buck. I don't know. Maybe I didn't pay enough attention to Tweaky's outline of his head and his face, but I don't know, man. It just looks very, to me, it just looks horrifying, like more horrifying to me tonight.
Oh, it's real bad. Like, yeah, it looks like he just shaved it, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Yeah, kind of like he shaved his helmet.
Yeah, that's exactly. And Buck's concerned because they were supposed to meet Wilma an hour ago, and she's not here yet.
She is not. And Jamie's looking all tired and shit. Oh, look at these two having a great old time.
And they're like, they're drunk. And if you look, Sean, oh my God, look at what this guy's wearing. This is what Dipper was wearing last fucking episode.
Yes.
Oh my god.
They use a lot of the same costumes and sets.
They take it off a dipper and it's just like, here you go.
And then there's Wilma with great value, Space Fonzie.
Kind of like
this. He's an ugly. He's an ugly motherfucker too.
Kind of like that she's tied up.
Yeah, me too.
She's talking all dirty and shit to him.
She always does, man. This is like her MO. You smuggling something? She's like, yeah, I'm smuggling something. Would you like to see what I'm smuggling?
Yeah, in those pants.
How about you give me some seed?
And he's like, oh, yes, that was last episode, but I got you here.
Oh, yes, she wants 12 kilograms of seed. And then she smiles. Her smile, man. It gives me, like, the heebie-jeebies. Any interest I have in her when she smiles, it goes out the window, Scott.
That's terrible. That's terrible, Sean.
Why is that terrible? It's almost like demonic. It's horrifying.
And then Wilma whoops that guy's ass real quick.
You know what it is when she smiles? When she smiles, I see Skeletor from He-Man.
Oh.
Like,
oh, that's rough.
I've never seen anyone transform from such a beautiful creature to Skeletor in a blink of a hat. By the way, this guy.
Snitches this guy, real quick.
This I know, but this guy right here, another trope. Remember Barney?
Yeah.
You remember Barney from the Legion of Death? The guy, the pirate Barney guy?
Yep, that's Barney. I had him looking like
it's not him, but that he plays the same fucking part as Barney.
Yeah, I'm saying like it's like the same trope. I have him written down here that he looks like the guy from Great Value, Gabe Kaplan.
Yes, welcome back, Cotter. And why is his pubic hair on his head?
He looks like a fucking Geopet.
Yeah, his pubic hair is grown on his head.
God, that's the same fucking costume, Sean. Even down to like the straps on the circle.
Yep. And Buck had time to comb his hair and take a shower, apparently, and so did she.
And he's like, I can get you off.
What the fuck are those?
Yeah, get those bracelets off.
What are those little colored things she's offering to the Great Value Cotter here?
And he goes, not exactly in mint condition. What's a few bacteria between friends?
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know.
Was that money?
I guess it's supposed to be money.
They look like lifesavers that have been rolled over by a car.
And he's like, some find my perception's valuable. He's like trying to get information out of him. And then he pays and he's like, no, I haven't seen a blonde. Did see a redhead, though. It's amazing.
I cannot believe I'm with you, man. I cannot believe that Buck is wearing the dipper jacket. That is hilarious. Like literally back to back on our last two episodes, we have the same exact costume. That's freaking hysterical.
And the same fucking set piece. And it's like, we didn't even plan this.
And by the way, our last episode that we watched, Battlestar, that was filmed well over a year before this episode. So that's just fucking funny.
Yeah, that's...
But I can't save money where you can, right?
Yeah, but I can't believe they didn't tear down these sets in the 70s. Uh-oh.
Oh, he just tore off that tentacle. That motherfucker's pissed. There goes Hugo.
And Hugo has some green, like, slime on him. He's he's about to whoop some ass.
Oh, God, she's so hot.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Door buzzes.
Oh, and Cotter's gonna rat him out.
Just like the fucking pirate.
And by the way, Pantera's also got Chia Pet Head.
Yeah, it's just real bad. I'm sure a lot of people had that.
And Pantera's wearing a ski jacket. I guess he's going skiing or something after this episode.
Well, if not, his girlfriend's definitely going skiing with those two.
Mm. I know where I'd ski with her.
Same here. And he's like, I'll give you some stuff, 40 credits in advance.
All right. So
and he pays it.
Yeah. So Wilma's walking looking hot. Let's do our F, Mary, Kill. So Wilma, the girlfriend, or Jamie Lee Curtis? F, Mary, Kill.
Fuck Wilma. Marry Jamie Lynn. Kill the blonde chick. Oh, that was a hard decision.
See, I disagree. I go wrong. So I'm going to shock you on what I'm about to say, Scott.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Shocking here. I would fuck this girl.
Okay. Wow. All right.
I would marry Jamie Lee and I would kill Wilma.
Wow, because the Skeletor thing. You said she looks like Stephanie when she smiles.
Yes, because if she smiles, okay, so if I marry her and she smiles, I'll want a divorce, right? If I F her and she smiles, I'm not going to be able to perform. So the only option is I have to kill her.
That sucks.
Do you like my logic in that?
Yeah, I mean, but I just think Wilma has a banging body, so.
The smile doesn't bug you, huh?
No, not really.
I want you to remember when we watched the Buck Rogers Space Vampire episode and she gets all evil and vampire-y and she smiles, I want you to tell me if you change your tune.
Oh, never mind. I can't say that on a pod. Yeah, I'll let you know.
What, were you gonna say something inappropriate?
Oh, it was 100% inappropriate, Sean.
Well, you know we can like do innuendo here without saying it, you know.
I can't even think of an innuendo right now.
I mean, I brought up Jamie Lee's hair earlier.
That's true. And then we see that the girlfriend runs into Jamie and gives her something.
It's a Green Lantern ring.
Fuck yeah, she's about to use some will.
She's about to turn Buck into a toilet.
Oh, man,
piss on it. Oh God. Jesus Christ. Oh, wonder twin powers activate golden shower. Oh, we're going to hell.
Yes, we are. We've already discussed that. It's
fine. I will tell you that outfit, that red jumpsuit, was, oh my God, it's freaking unbelievable.
It's ridiculous, right? Like, that's all I think about. It's like, damn. Like, good job, Glenn A. Larson.
And why is Jamie Lee Curtis and his little new woman, why are they attracted to this guy? Like, why? This guy's disgustingly gross looking.
Maybe it's like the bad boy thing, where it's like they think they can turn the bad boy good.
Maybe that's what it is. Jamie Lee's got a begging body, man. Holy
shit. She really does. I never realized that. Like, damn.
Buck, I'm sorry. And now she's going to shoot her Green Lantern ring at him.
Well, this is more of the Orange Lantern ring.
You like how, hey, Jamie, in the script, all you got to do is touch your ring and Buck will collapse. That's really all she did.
Buck does some great acting. Like, I'm surprised he didn't get, like, his stunt double to do, like, where he falls
down. I have an ad starting in 7 seconds.
All right, let me know when to pause it. Oh, I'm getting an ad in 7, 6, 5. Did you see where the android was knocking over these fake-ass trees?
Yeah, that's when I went to commercial, the minute he bucked the trees over. So good, we're in the same commercial spot. All right, so we are at the second half, and we're coming to the end game. So we talked about the first half, and we always talk about how the second half is usually slow. What did you think of this second half?
Second half was great. I love, like, besides them walking in the desert, everything else was great. Like, we saw, like, Wilma whooping ass. We saw Buck mugging some people. And then we see Jen taking down Buck. So what's going to happen in the last 10 minutes?
And don't forget the Sarlacc.
Yeah, and the Sarlacc.
So the Sarlacc, Hugo, Jamie Lee banging by. I mean, there's so, like, I feel like this has been a very, like, very, very quickly paced episode. And I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. I've really liked it a lot. Like, and like, you know, I'm not saying they need to get a guest star every time, but this is working for me, Sean.
I got news for you. One of our guest stars coming up soon will be Gary Coleman from Different Strokes.
Before or after Different Strokes?
It was actually during Different Strokes.
I'm really shocked at that.
Well, so, well, we're not there yet, but Gary Coleman was very famous because of that show. And they're both shows were on NBC, so they got him the star in it. But he actually appears in 2 episodes of Buck Rogers.
Oh, okay, wow.
So, yeah, you'll see Gary Coleman. I don't know when it is. It might be the next few episodes. I think it's within the next 2 or 3 episodes we'll have him. So now I have a commercial for Jared. What's yours?
I just had Priceline, and I'm back. So I had like 4 commercials earlier. So I'm gonna pause it.
Yeah, you need to pause. I'm still in my commercial.
Yeah, I just had one for Priceline, but I used to have, like, these shitty commercials.
Well, this is the first commercial break I've had this whole show. Weird, right?
Yeah, 35 minutes in.
Ooh, now I have a Little Caesars one where it's like a pizza that's a stromboli, but it's shaped like a star.
Dude, I haven't had Little Caesars in, like, 7 years.
I loved Little Caesars.
It destroys my stomach.
It destroys in general, but yes. My kid used to eat it all the time. Okay, I'm back.
All right, I'm hitting it.
All right, Hugo walking through the desert now. Buck is being woken up by Wilma with her little taser or whatever it is.
That's exactly. It looks like a actually, it looks like a vape now, but I know they didn't have those back then.
Well, you know what that, you know what that really is, right?
Yes, I do.
I almost feel like we should just say it and be an innuendo and everybody knows what we're talking about because apparently that's what we're good at on this show, according to some people. I don't know. Every time you look at Wilma, I want you to just look at her teeth and nothing else.
Okay, I'll do my best.
You will be horrified if you do. Look at Buck's belly starting to protrude out of it. Like, you see the belly? Look at it. You see, like,
You see that taco meat.
You see the man meat hanging out over the pants?
Oh, and we see that Jen has came back.
Dude, what a lucky guy this guy is. Can you imagine what he could get done here if he was played his cards right?
No, but he's an idiot. Look at that. I didn't realize that slit went that far up.
Look at... I love the word slit always pops to me. It's just one of those words that could mean so many things. Every time I hear it, I'm like a little kid. I'm like, oh, you said slit. Now the guy's being an asshole. He's like, fuck you.
Yep, and he's like, I'm going to kill her.
I have a new woman that wants my seed.
Exactly, and she's better.
Oh, look at her. She's going for this is the guest star Emmy nomination moment, Scott.
He said, and then he comes with a savage line. I said whatever to fulfill my needs. It was like, damn.
Yeah, basically said, I said whatever I needed to get in your pants.
Yep. And then, like, Jamie Lee brings up a good thing. She's like, you're next, you know, to the girl. It's just like, yeah, you're seeing this shit happen. Are you one of those dumbasses that think it's not going to happen to you?
Oh, there you are. I love this. I continue to pop every time I see the... By the way, do you remember that episode where they had the food poisoning and the food discs?
Yes.
And the computer that blew up? That's the same fucking computer right behind Tweaky.
They repaired it. It's fine.
It's the same fucking computer. Would it be wrong? Can we change Tweaky's name to Dickie?
I'm okay with calling him Dickie.
All right, I'm going to call him Dickie from now on. I'm telling you, that head is a rib. That is a straight rib, and you can't tell me it's not.
Oh, it definitely is. Look at it. I mean, God, it's horrible. The more I see it, Sean, the more it's driving me crazy, this episode.
You can't tell me they didn't design – like, there's no way they designed him and said, hey, that looks like a penis head. You think anyone will notice? I mean, come on. You have to know it, right?
Yeah, especially, like – I think it's like, because you said this was more of like a kid's show, right?
I don't know about kid. I mean, obviously more kiddy than I would say Battlestar was.
Do you think it's like, you know how they put like the adult jokes in like the cartoons? It has to be that, right?
Maybe it's kind of like the Lion King with the cloud that says sex in it, I guess. Or whatever. Yeah, something like that. Oh, look, we got more space poker. They redid this too. What a common trope, man. I love seeing the similarities between the two shows because they don't have a budget. It cracks me up.
And I love this. And like, this guy's trying to act like he's a hot shot and he's just
It's almost like if you watch Knight Rider and Magnum P.I. and then you find out that the Knight Rider was actually Magnum P.I.'s Ferrari because Glenn A. Larson couldn't afford to do a Knight Rider and a Ferrari in Magnum P.I. because they're both played by Glenn Larson.
Oh, he did those too?
Yeah, he did. He does Knight Rider and Magnum PI. That was both.
I had no idea.
Oh man, we could go down the Glenn Larson rabbit trail if you really want to. You'd probably be shocked at some of the shit he does. You continue to commentate why I look up Glenn A. Larson shit.
Yeah, so like we see Buck is going after the guy that played him before. I can't remember his name, but he looks like Gabe Kaplan, so great. Sergio, that's his name.
Glenn A. Larson is dead, so.
Of course. And he's like, Buck actually threatens him. He said, where's Pantera? And he said, anything but that. And he's like, this isn't fair. Use your unnatural height to your advantage, because Sergio's a midget. Sorry, little person.
All right, so are you ready for the Glenn A. Larson Rolodex here?
Yes.
All right, Glenn A. Larson did a show called Alias Smith and Jones, Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, Quincy Medical, ME, The Hardy Boys Nancy Drew Mysteries, a show that I used to watch as a kid called BJ and the Bear. Have you ever heard of that show?
No.
It's about a trucker who has a pet chimpanzee. The Fall Guy, Magna P.I., and Knight Rider.
That's a hell of a three right there.
Larson was also a member of the folk revival satire group, The Four Preps.
Interesting. All right. And we just saw the Terminator searching out, still searching. He's on the warpath.
I wish Huer. Can they kill off? Okay, so he did the Rockford Files too. They got to kill off Huer, man. He's just kind of. He does not come back in season two, by the way.
Thank God. Because you know why? Because Buck ate him.
Let's see here. Oh, he did the six. He did the $6 million man too.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what else that you might know.
Steve Austin.
Sheriff Lobo. He did Sheriff Lobo too.
Is that based off a DC character?
No, Sheriff Lobo is a spinoff of BJ and the Bear.
This is ridiculous.
The Fall got Simon and Simon. Did you ever hear that show?
No.
Ooh, Manimal. Did you ever hear Manimal?
Yes, I did hear that.
It's about the guy that could turn himself into animals. Automan. It's about the guy who could turn himself into a car. And let's see what else. Oh, he also did the remake of Battlestar Galactica. That was from him too.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was his last thing he did was Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome. That was the last thing he did. And he died in 2014. All right. So now we're hot, man. We're busted in here, and Buck and Wilma have just busted in to save Jamie Lee Curtis.
And Buck had a great quip. Sometimes a frontal assault is the best. Amen on that.
No innuendo on that.
That's all I'm going to say.
And then, like, sometimes I think the behind assault can be pretty good, too.
For the seed.
Because that's what she just did.
Yeah.
She just did the behind.
And Wilma gets her gun taken immediately. She's supposed to be so good. And then, like, what the hell's going on?
Oh, here's Hugo. Shit's about to hit the fan now. Hugo is pissed.
And Pantera's like, they're going to dump three bodies in space.
Yeah, he's a savage. But why don't they just kill him if they're going to kill him?
I know. Don't give a speech. Just fuck it. Oh, and then Hugo runs through.
Hugo through the wall.
And, like, dumbass Pantera attacks him for no reason. I would have been like, let's see where he's going.
And Hugo kicked him in the leg and just tossed him across the table. That was great.
And, like, he took up three shots and, like, still went. And Buck throws his gun away.
Oh, here you go. Karate Buck. Karate Buck.
It's not even Buck right there.
Well, I love the karate scenes because it's totally not him.
Not even Buck when he got up right there. And then he throws, like.
Oh, did you see the styrofoam? Oh, look at this. This is so bad. So bad. And in the background, you got that the music in the background that we can't hear. It's so bad. It's great.
And Wilma's like, take off the bracelet, you dumbass. And, like, it's obviously some plastic fair bracelet. And he wraps it around Pantera.
Which is fantastic, by the way, because I would have done that.
Yes.
And look at him limping like a little bitch.
And he says, be my guest. He's such so funny.
And look at her. She still cares about him.
You know he's going to kill him, right? And Buck's like, of course I got to.
That's all a play by Buck because hopefully he can get in her pants later.
See, that's what I was going to say. I was like, why have sex with two women when you can have sex with three women?
Oh! Did you just throw him right into that wall?
Yeah, that was like a linebacker hit right there.
Dude, that was savage.
You can't let him just take Mal away. That's
his name was Pantera.
Me too.
I don't know. That blonde's a little thick, man. She's hot. She's very hot, by the way.
I know.
She might be. I think she's hotter than Jamie Lee and Wilma.
I think you said the hair.
I'm telling you, you're wrong. I can get over the hair. It's fine. Oh my God! But seeing the three of them together with Buck, I'm like, God, man, what a beat the meat in that sandwich.
I know, and that's where Buck was going to be. And they finally shoot him, and they take him out. Four guns do the trick.
And look, the girl runs over to Mal, or whatever his name is. She's like, get away from me, you idiot. Get away.
She said, it hurt. You get away from me? He's like,
and Jamie's like, I told you you were next. Dumb bitch.
I knew what you were about to say.
I guess that I'm nothing if not predictable and transparent. For sure.
And then Tom kills, or Ted kills one of the random workers.
Yeoman Johnson. That's his name, Yeoman Johnson.
Yep, Yeoman Johnson, just trying to do his job.
That is the name of any of our random people. We call him Yeoman Johnson.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's like, And Dr. Huber's like, no guards, just me. Why is he getting the last part here? It should be Buck saying, I'm taking you, the deaf girl I saved last week, and then the girl, the hooker of the Heart of Gold that I saved, and we're going to have fun in my apartment.
Yeah, you know what? I'm down with that. But, you know, I feel like Huber's the serious guy on the show, and they got to give him some pure acting chop shine. That's the only reason why he's here.
And it's like, you were okay with him killing people? He's like, I didn't think about Pantera killing people. I just thought about the cash.
Yeah, yes.
It's like, I get that.
You don't know what it's like to be a go-in-between. Guess what? Now you're going to jail, motherfucker.
Yeah, get that message.
But it is odd that they have all these random people that show up and you never see them again.
I'm still waiting for the guy that threw the fucking the batarang type thing that was the assassin. Like that, I thought that guy was going to be like the main bad guy of the whole show.
We never see him in the 69th again. We never see Marky Post in her little nipply outfit ever again. We never see any of those folks ever again.
Well, also, Marky Post, RIP. Greatly appreciated.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
The 69th, they all died. They just died.
Well, we could have kind of given him like some kind of gun salute or something. All right, now they're taking Jamie back to Earth, so now he's got another hot woman that's going back to Earth with him.
She's like, I adapt quickly, so I had excellent health.
You know what would have been really great is if Hugo was in a Michael Myers mask.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That would have been, like, how do you miss that opportunity to make it kind of like Halloween? Oh, and now they're going back and forth and said, you could keep it. Hugo's dead. And then, of course, you flash back. I love how they just left him laying right there in the middle of the ground. Everybody just walks past him. Don't give a fuck. He's just there.
Are we going to see him again? Because, like, it definitely seems...
No, we do not. But what a great tease, right?
Yeah, that's some straight-up Michael Myers shit. Like, do you think they did it because of that?
No, I think they did it that maybe one day they would bring him back to leave it open for him. Listen, they had a good thing here. Like, if they had brought... Like, maybe they do. I don't think they do, but... This is a good. This could have been a good thing they could have returned to if they had really wanted to. So I'm glad they left it open.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And that ends the episode. So, Scott, overall, what did you think of Unchained Woman?
I'm going to say it was better than the last Battlestar episode we watched because it didn't really lag in the middle as much as the Battlestar episode that we watched last episode.
I kind of think it might be trying to think about our Buck Rogers episode. We've had a lot of... I think we've enjoyed more Buck Rogers episodes than we have Battlestars.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that because it's... I think the reason why we liked the Battlestar episode so much last episode is because it was comedic. Because it's usually serious. This is always comedic and like doesn't take itself too serious, which is what I enjoy.
And what did you think about Jamie Lee Curtis in this endeavor?
So can we bring her on so we can just see her and Wilma all the time?
Well, unfortunately, we will not see her again because she becomes too famous and we never see her again. So it was good to know. It was good to have her on here. But so, Scott, on our next episode, episode 19, would you like to know what we're going to watch?
Of course, Sean. Is it a one-parter or a two-parter?
It is a one-parter, and it is actually one of my all-time favorite Battlestar episodes ever.
Yes. Okay,
and it is Starbucks-centric again. It is episode number 11, and it's called The Young Lords. Would you like to know what it's about?
Of course.
Starbuck is rescued from the armor-clad Cylon warriors of Trillin by the children of an imprisoned jungle fighter. Although the children like Starbuck and want to help them, their determination to free their father from his robot captors leads them to betray Starbuck. The children are later betrayed by the Cylon Commander Spectre, and all hopes appear to be lost.
Are we sure that these kids aren't really Starbucks?
No, they're not. It's a great episode, and you don't know who the Lindry twins are. They were in the 80s. They were these young blonde twins that were very, very hot. So I think she's a guest star in The Young Lords is one of my think Lord of the Rings in space.
Oh, do you mean Lord of the Flies?
Oh, sorry. No, I said Lord of the Flies. Think Lord of the Flies in space.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm a Lord of the Flies fan, so yes.
So Starbucks lead. At the end, what happens is Starbucks leads the Young Lords into battle, which is really cool. Starbucks gets some good shine in that episode, so you'll like it.
Oh, I can't wait. Because Starbucks is my favorite character out of all of this.
Yeah, so that'll be episode 19. So, Scott, before we go, any plugs?
Yeah, just check out all the pods on the Quadapods, Jenny Position, No So, PTBN Pop Experience, and PTBN Wrestling Feed. Everyone's just killing it. I can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet. And Sean, thanks again for thanks again. Another great episode.
Yeah, another great episode. And you can find me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll and amongst numerous pods across the feeds everywhere, to say the least. And most of those are with Scott. So with that, I am Sean. He is Scott. We will see you on episode 19 of Battlestar Galactica, where we watch episode 11. I'm sorry, Battlestar in the 25th Century, where we watch episode 11 of Battlestar Galactica, The Young Lords.